Well, tonight I figured we would be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And we're just going to go to one verse tonight, but there's a lot to dig in and get out of this verse. And really, this is something that God put on my heart, really, for just encouragement. It was to really encourage me and to show me that God's working in me and God's helping me. And I'm special to God, really. So that's where we want to be tonight, Ephesians 2, verse 10. And I'll go ahead and read it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I will pray real quick. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, I do just want to thank You for opening Your Word tonight, Lord. And again, Father, I need You to help me to discern Your truth, Lord, and to make it clear, Father, where You would be glorified, Lord, that Your name would be lifted up, Lord. Help me with this, Father. Help us to understand it. Help it to know it, Lord, and help it to be an encouragement to our hearts, Lord. And we are special to You, Lord. And we thank You for Your love that You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, as I was saying, this verse really was more of an encouragement to my heart. It was the Lord just kind of showing me that I am special to Him. And as I was reading this, we'll kind of break it down, maybe a couple word for word, and then we'll kind of go to maybe a couple other places. I don't want to go too many places tonight, but we'll go to a couple. And but it starts out, for we. Now that we is talking to someone specific. That is talking to believers specifically, children of God specifically. That is what this verse is referring to. It is referring to a specific person, and that is God's children. So God is speaking to His children right here in this very verse. For we, the believers, are His workmanship. That His is God. We are His workmanship, God's workmanship. And workmanship, that is also kind of broken into some similar words, is God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, God's work of art, God's work of art. So whenever you think about that word workmanship, put a note by that. Put by that that there are similar words to that. There's handiwork, there's masterpiece, there's God's work of art. But what it's referring to is we're special to God. We are something special to God. And that's the whole reason of using that word. We are His workmanship, God's workmanship. And we are created in Christ Jesus. But I do want to just think about that word workmanship, handiwork, masterpiece. And I was thinking about Paul and how many places Paul has been. He has been to a whole lot of places. And I was thinking, well, maybe what was Paul's motivation to maybe use this word? I know it was God intended him on using this word, but I imagine Paul, being as many places as he's been, I was thinking of Athens, Greece. We've seen pictures of Athens, Greece, and all these different places that Paul has been in that ancient times, and how neat the buildings were, how awesome they were, how sculpted they were, how much time men had in that to build those places. Rome itself was quite an amazing city, if you really think about it. The Colosseum was an amazing structure. A lot of bad things happened there, but the Colosseum itself was an amazing structure. It was the workmanship of men. And so I'd imagine Paul, and he's in Ephesus right now, specifically. And in Ephesus, there was actually a temple of Artemis. Now, the temple of Artemis was actually a seven wonders of the world, the ancient world. I would only imagine Paul's looking at this temple, and Paul is just imagining the workmanship that men have in this, the time they have taken to sculpt every section of that place out and to put it all together. And Paul's been to places where there's been statues that has literally been chiseled by artists, chiseled by men. And I was thinking about the statue of the unknown God. And Paul says, I'm here to tell you about that one. You chisel all these statues out to these false gods. Well, I'm here to tell you about the unknown God. And but again, I was imagining Paul's looking at all these amazing things. Nowadays, you know, there's still some amazing buildings being built, but there's not much time and handiwork as there used to be. There's not much design and all of that workmanship, this masterpieces that are being made anymore. It's more of a just throw it together and there it is. It looks the same as your neighbor's. But at that time, there was a whole lot of workmanship. There was pride. There was men who were taking time to build masterpieces. But this is referring to God's workmanship in a spiritual sense, in God's children, in His own children. He's talking about the workmanship He's done in us, the masterpiece He's making out of us, and in a spiritual sense, and maybe in a physical sense as well. You know, God can change people's lives so much. He can transform them to what they once looked like into something else, you know, and it would be for their good. But this is speaking of a spiritual sense. I was thinking about Jeremiah 18, and if you go there, and we may go there, actually I probably will go there and read just a little bit of that. Jeremiah 18, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I had it ready. And I'll read just a little bit of this, not the whole chapter, but this is speaking of the potter's wheel with the clay, and we are somewhat familiar with this. And it starts in verse 1, Jeremiah 18, verse 1. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Now that goes on and refers to, you know, God making Israel into a nation that He can build up or a nation that He can destroy if they seek to not go after God. But I was thinking about that first section of the potter's wheel. God has us in His hands, and He is sculpting. He is making us into something. He is making us into a complete masterpiece. Now, I can only imagine what God's had to start out with, because I look at my own life and had to see what He started with me. All I am is a sinful, broken mess. I'm just a mess. I'm just as a potter's wheel, I'm just that pile of clay. I look like nothing. I'm pretty well useless. I don't have any sense. I'm just a pile of clay. I'm just a sinful, broken mess of a man. But God sees that pile of clay. God sees that broken, sinful mess of a man who doesn't know God and doesn't seek after God. And He begins to do a work in that man or that woman. He begins to do a work. He does something special with them. He begins to work with His handiwork, His masterpiece. Now, I was thinking about the world as well. You know, we have so much evidence of just how amazing our God is, the handiwork that our God has. I mean, even our own bodies are something special. You know, in a physical sense, you can think about a baby being knitted in the mother's womb. That was something special. That is God's handiwork in a physical sense, putting us in our mother's womb. He knew us before the world was. He had plans for us. We, at one point, was His masterpiece in the womb. He put us in the womb and made us how He wanted us to be. But that's in a physical sense. And again, I want us to think spiritually about this, to see what God has done in us spiritually. But let's go a little bit further in verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Created in Christ Jesus. So when did this handiwork, when did this workmanship begin in a child of God? Well, it started at salvation. It started at salvation. There was a time when, again, I was just a sinful, broken mess of a man, and in a sense, I still somewhat am that. I still mess up, and I still sin, and I'm still broken. But in a sense, this is speaking of that old self. That old self. I was once a mess. I was once a sinner, just going after my own ways and doing my own things, and I didn't care much about God, but He began to transform my life. He began His work in me. He changed my heart. He was working that. And how did He do that? Well, He did that all through Christ Jesus. All of that was possible through Christ Jesus. Salvation comes through Christ Jesus. So God sent His own Son to die for the sins of the world, right? To die for our sins and to make a way of salvation. And when God begins that work of faith, just as we were speaking this morning, that work of faith, when God begins to work in us through the work that's already been done through Christ Jesus on the cross, He begins to save us. He transforms us. He makes us into a new believer. I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 5:17 on that. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But you were once an old self, right? There was an old part of me, and God did a work to create a new person. And those old things have passed away. But But we are God's masterpiece, God's handiwork in a spiritual sense. God's handiwork. And I was thinking about God's handiwork and God's masterpiece, and I was really sitting down just thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about the work on the cross, and I was thinking about Jesus himself. You know, there is one example of God's perfect masterpiece, and it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. We have an absolutely wonderful masterpiece of a Lord and Savior. He is absolutely perfect, sinless. None of him is broken. None of him is a mess like I am. He is absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect in every sense. He is perfect. His love is perfect. His grace is perfect. His mercy is perfect. His compassion is perfect. Even his wrath and his justice is perfect. Everything is perfect. He is the absolute greatest masterpiece. But what is God's purpose? He wants to make us more like him, like Christ. The entire goal of a believer is to be made more like Christ. We want to be more like Christ. We don't want to be like ourselves, at least. At least that should be our hearts. You know, that's how we ought to be. We don't want to be like ourselves. Again, I know how I used to be and I know how I can be. I don't want to be that. I want to be more like Christ. I want to love like Christ. I want to have compassion like Christ. I want to have grace and mercy like Christ. And I want to be what I need to be. I want to be useful to God. I want to be useful to this serving others in this world for the name of Christ. And but I was thinking about that, and we have that example. We have Christ Jesus as our very example of a masterpiece. And that is who he is. He is the masterpiece. But just so get that in your minds tonight, get that in your hearts tonight, that we are something special to God. We are his handiwork. We are his masterpiece. And he's doing all that in a spiritual sense. He's continuing to chisel us out and make us into something. Again, just think about them sculptors back in that time and all the time they had to make them statues and them buildings. I mean, hours upon hours of just chiseling away stone, making those statues and sculpt and those buildings. But that's what God's doing. He's looking at our lives, and he's finding those pieces that he needs to chisel away. He's finding those imperfections, and he's going to start chiseling them away. Right? He's going to find those places, those things that we don't need to be, those things that's in our lives that he don't want us to have, and he's going to chisel that off. He's going to make us perfect. Now, what tends to happen, if you're anything like me, sometimes God comes after something that I might want or something that I might not want to get rid of or that I'm battling with. And I need to be able to trust in God and say, Lord, you're perfect. I'm your child. You have a plan for me. And you say that I'm your workmanship and I'm your masterpiece. Do what you need to do with me. If that don't need to be a part of my life, then get it out of my life. If whatever's wrong with me, find it and take care of it. I want to be made more like Christ. I want to be made more pure, more righteous, more holy. I don't want to be me. But God's going to find those places that he doesn't want us to be like and find those things in us that he ain't going to like, and he's going to chisel that off. But be ready for that. God's got to do that work in us. And again, this is all in a spiritual sense. God's finding those things in our heart that he doesn't want, and he's going to work that out of us. But we can fight back. And we can make it awfully stubborn of ourselves, and God can fight us in that, but trust in the Lord. He's going to find those spots, and he's going to get rid of that for a reason. I was thinking about this as we went a little bit further. All of this work is done because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross and through salvation. But it's for good works. For good works. And again, everything that God is doing in us is good. It is a good thing. God is good to us. God is good to his children. He has plans for us. And he knew it before the world was, right? He knew the plans for us. And we need to trust in those plans because it is for the good works of us. But not only for that, God's saying, I'm going to do all this work in you. I'm going to make you the masterpiece that I want you to be because I want you to do the good works that I've called you to do. To do the good works. God's preparing us to do good works. God's preparing us in these things. And he's doing that, again, all through Christ Jesus and through salvation. And as we're a believer, it's a continuous process. God's going to continue to help us and grow us into things and make us where we can do these good works. And I was thinking about Romans 12. We'll go to a couple places in Romans here. Let's just look at a couple verses. Again, I won't go to too many places. But there's a couple places in Romans. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me get there. I'm not good at memorizing those verses yet. I should know them, but I'll read them just so I don't butcher them up. Not get there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when you think about that verse, again, as I was saying, sometimes we tend to fight God. Sometimes we tend to don't want to give our lives up to the Lord like we ought. And again, this morning I was speaking about faith. We need to have full faith in God and trust in God that whatever He's doing in us, He has a reason for that. But we need to present our bodies, present ourselves as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. That literally means, Lord, here I am. Here is all of me. Do what you want in me. Do whatever you desire. It is your will, your way. Let me be obedient to you. So we are a holy, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God has transformed us. He's given us a new life. We get to be in glory with Him one day for all eternity. The very least thing we could do is at least say, Lord, here's my life. Take it. Do what you so pleased to do with it. Let your will be done. And just make sure, Lord, that you are glorified by it. Make sure that your name is lifted up through my life. So it's our reasonable service. We are to be able to present ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord, saying, Lord, do whatever you please to do with us. Do whatever you please to do with us. And again, this is all for the good works. It's all for good works. And we're going to see that a little bit further. Romans 8:28, just another one we can build on here. Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Everything that God has planned for us is for our good. It is for our good. We can have faith in that. We can trust completely in that. It is for our good. God plans to do everything in our life for our good. And now, again, sometimes we can go through a hard time in our life. Sometimes we battle and struggle with things, and it's hard for us to understand truly if God is working and moving in our lives. But we have to be willing to understand that God is with us. God is working. He's doing all of this for some reason. The hardest thing is, for me, is I like to know everything. I want to be able to know it all. Lord, I don't want to do those things if I don't know what's going on. But in order to be a true believer, standing in faith, walking in faith, we have to be willing to just say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but you've got it all under control. You've got it all under control. I'm going to trust in you because it's all for the good of me and for your kingdom. It's all for the good of those who love God. It's all for the good. So trust in the Lord. I know, again, sometimes God's going to bring us through some things, it can be hard to trust in God, but we absolutely need to be fully trusting in the Lord because it's all for the good works of the Lord. I was thinking about, I'm a car guy, and you can put this in however you want to put this, but as a car guy, I was thinking about an old pile of junk that's sitting out, an old car, old truck, whatever it is, sitting out in a field, and it's rotted away, it's rusting away, it's a mess, and everybody just drives by, and they look at it, and they don't see nothing of it. They just see it as a pile of junk. But then you got these car guys that are crazy about this stuff. What do? They drag it out of the weeds, they bring it to their shop, but what are they going to first do? In order to restore a car, they first have to tear that car completely apart. Every nut and bolt's got to come apart. Everything's got to come apart. And God sometimes has to bring us through those things where He's got to just completely tear us apart. He's got to bring us through things in life that's just going to rip us apart. It's got to tear us apart. But that's all for God's complete plan. It's all for God's complete plan because these car guys, they're going to rip that car apart. Every nut and every bolt's got to come apart. But what are they going to do? They're eventually going to start that process. Once everything's been restored, once everything's beginning to be painted and made new, they're going to start putting that car all back together. Every nut and bolt's going to come right back together, and it's all going to be restored. It's all going to be made new. God's doing that very same thing in us. Sometimes in life, He's got to bring us through that part where He's got to rip us apart. He's got to chisel pieces away, but it's all for His good work. It's all for His good work. It's all for Him. And He's willing to do that in our lives, but we have to be able to trust in that. We have to be able to trust in that. And going back to Ephesians, I flipped away from it. Let me get there. But back to Ephesians 2, and again, for good works. Now, we can go a little further into that, and we can say this is also for the good works of the kingdom. This is not just for the good works in us, but this is for the good works of the kingdom, of God. This is for what we are called to do, right? When God transforms us and makes us new, He gives us a new life, and now we are now following Him. We are doing what He commands us to do. And what does He command us to do? Well, He commands us to go out in this world and preach the gospel to all the nations. He commands us to be more like Him, be more like Christ, be holy. Don't live like this world. Don't follow this world. Don't go after those things of this world. Follow Me. Go after Me. Do the things that I've called you to do. And we'll see some of this in James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So this very verse right here is just telling us that very thing. God's got a plan for us. God's doing all this work in us. He's making us into that perfect vessel that He wants to use us for His kingdom, for His good works. But we have to be willing to do that, right? We have to be willing to be faithful to those things. But that's what James 1:22 is saying. Be doers of the word. What God calls us to do in this very word, go out and preach the gospel to the nations, baptize them, make disciples out of them, teach them to observe all things, all those things. He's going to send us out into this world to do the works of the kingdom. He's going to do the works of the kingdom. And I tell you what, there is some work to do, is there not? There is some work to do. This nation, this world, it needs some good works. It needs some good works. It's a broke down mess. It's a mess. And there needs to be those who are going to step in, the church specifically. God's calling us, the church, to go out and begin the good works, to go out into the broken families, to go out into the broken, wherever we're at, in our businesses, whatever it is, wherever God's got you, you are the light. You are the one that is to be the light. You are the one that is to be doing the good work. You are to be the one that's standing for Christ, preaching Christ, and wherever you may be, whatever it is, you are the one to be there doing the good works for the kingdom of God. And do we not want that? Is that not something that we desire? I want people to be saved. I want people to be made new, to be transformed. I want people to know that they can come to this church and they can worship the Lord, that they can be here and that we're praying for them and that we love them and we want them here. I want them to know that there is a faithful church out there, God's people out there, doing the work because we love them. We love them. And I was thinking about that. Again, we are created in Christ Jesus. Christ loved us, right? He went to the cross to die for us. He did an amazing work on that cross all through love for us. All through love for us. And we should love Him and we should love others so much that we want to go out and do the good works for them. We want to be able to serve others. We want to be able to serve our Lord and glorify His name in these things through the love that we have for Him. And when we see what He's doing in our lives, that should even motivate us more. When He's doing that workmanship, when He's doing that handiwork in our lives, it should motivate us more. It should change us more, where we have more of a fire, more of a zeal, more of a passion, where we should want to be able to go out and serve the Lord, to go out and serve Him. And it says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in these good works. God had a plan for every single one of us. Every single one of us, God has a plan in us and for us. And this is all predestined. This is all predestined. God's seen this before I was even in my mother's womb. He had plans for me. I didn't know I was going to be created. My parents didn't know I was going to be created. Nobody knew that I was going to exist, but God knew. God knew. And from that moment on, God had a plan for me, and He's got a plan for you and you and you and you and you. And now some of that plan, I can see it now. You know, He's beginning to work that plan in me, and that's maybe to go and preach the gospel, right? He's finding these, I'm searching my gifts out, and He's showing me my gifts that He has created in me, My gifts are His handiwork. My gifts are His workmanship. And now He is showing me these gifts, and He's saying, all right, I've done this work in you. I have made you my handiwork. Now go. Go out. Go out and do what I've called you to do. And use your gifts. Use that handiwork. Use that stuff that I've done. And you have the same calling, the same purpose. God's done the same thing in you if you be a child of God. But you have to challenge yourself with that. You know, all of this is speaking about a child of God. So then you have to examine yourself. And you have to say, are you truly a child of God? Are you truly a child of God? Are you truly someone that's been created in Christ Jesus, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus? Is that truly you? Have you been transformed? Have you been made into a new creation, a new person, new handiwork from God, not just in the womb? Again, from the beginning, yes, we in the womb have been God's handiwork. We're something of a masterpiece. But again, have you been born again? I think about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. There is a new handiwork, Nicodemus. There's a new masterpiece that has to be done in you. Yeah, you were born of your mother's womb, and yeah, that was a masterpiece in itself. That was God's handiwork, but that has to happen. You must be born again in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, that's what Jesus was trying to drive into Nicodemus. This is deeper than just a physical sense. This is spiritual. This is spiritual. God's handiwork does not begin in anyone until they have come to salvation, until He begins that process of salvation. That is when God's handiwork begins to start. God begins that process. And so when Paul was saying all of these things, when Paul was motivated by God to put this very verse in the gospel, I believe that's what maybe Paul was doing. Again, he's out in these amazing places that I don't know, I've never been to these places, but he's seeing all this miraculous work. And he's taking that into focus, into God's focus, and he's putting that into a spiritual sense. And he's saying, look, children, God's doing this very work in you. He's doing something special in you. And I know for a fact that we have lost people in our families. We have broken people in our families. We have people that need to be made new, that need God's handiwork, that needs God's workmanship. Again, there are families out there that are just a broken mess. Fathers don't want to be fathers. Mothers don't want to be mothers. Whatever it may be, the children are running wild. Whatever it is, Satan's after us. Satan's after everybody. He just wants to seek and destroy. That is his whole purpose. He does not want God's handiwork to be done. He knows the fact that if God's handiwork is done, then something miraculous is going to happen. Something miraculous is going to happen. People are going to be saved. People are going to be transformed. And that's not what Satan wants. That's not what our enemy wants. He wants people to be destroyed and messed up. But God put this very verse in here to remind us that God, we are something special to God. We are something special to God. And He thinks that every person out there is something special to Him. He wants us out there finding those people, finding the lost, finding the ones that are broken. He wants us to go to them and preach the gospel to them and tell them about the God who wants to make them into a masterpiece, who wants to do a mighty work in them, who wants to transform them, make them into something for the kingdom of God. Give them new life. Give them new life. God wants to do something special in them. And that is God's sole purpose. That is God's goal. And we need to be faithful to do these very things. It is the good works. It is the good works that we're called to do. And again, examine yourselves. Make sure this is a verse that relates to you. Make sure this is a verse that relates to you. Make sure that you are a child of God and that God is doing that process in you. Is He making you into someone else? Is He crafting you? Is He molding you, shaping you, just as the potter's wheel with the clay? Is He doing that work in you? And if not, then no, you can call on Christ and you can turn to Him. You can turn to God. He'll save you. That's what He desires. But as children of God, we ought to live like it, right? We ought to live like a child of God. We ought to live like somebody who has been transformed, who is God's workmanship. We ought to be the absolute evidence that there is a God, that there is a God. You know, there are so many people out there who don't believe there's a God. They don't want to believe that there is a God. They look at all these things, all of God's handiwork, and they say, nope, there is no God. The trees are growing, the sun shines, the clouds are over, the blue skies, the stars are hanging in their constellations. You can look at your own eyes. You know, I think about eyes. If you look in a mirror and look at your own eye, it is something of a handiwork. You can't tell me that it's from evolution, or you can't tell me that it's something that was just made from a cloud of fairy dust. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but there is something special. There is God's handiwork everywhere, but there are people who say, no, there is no God. But when they see something in a believer, when they see someone that is a child of God, they ought to see something different. They ought to see something different. When they look out into this world, yeah, everybody's just the same, you know, whatever, whatever. But when they see a child of God, they ought to say, what's going on in that person's life? What makes them like that? What makes them different? What is it that they're just like a light that glows? What is that? They ought to be knowing something is different in us. And that ought to be God's workmanship coming out of us. That ought to be God's workmanship showing through us. He's making us into something special. That ought to be flowing out of us. God's righteousness ought to be flowing out of us. God's holiness ought to be flowing out of us. God's goodness ought to be flowing out of us. God's workmanship should be flowing out of us. And is God's workmanship flowing through you? Is that evident in your life? If people were to look at you, would they say, yeah, that is someone different. That is someone different. I once knew who they were, and let me tell you, they are no longer that person. They are something special. They are something different. God has changed them. God has done a work in them that only God can do. That only God can do. So understand that we not only should just be God's workmanship, we are, but we should live like it. We should live like it. That should be our motivation to live like it. We ought to be out in this world living like that, that we are God's workmanship. We are something special. And that ought to help bring people to Christ. When they see that, when that broken mess of a person sees something different in us, that may be God's way of bringing them closer. God's way of saying, go to that person, talk to that person that's different. And that's a way for God to open a door. God can open doors through just a simple way of us being the light in the darkness, of being the light in the darkness, of being the salt of the earth, being something special out in a broken, lost world. And so that's just something God was putting on my heart. It was just a word of encouragement for me, really, that to know that I am something special to God. And that just encourages me. It amazes me that God will look again upon me and He sees me as something special and that He loves me and that He would be willing to transform me and make me into something greater. And that's what God is doing in me. And I pray that that work continues and that I'm faithful to let God do that. But not only that, is that not just encouraging to me, but it also challenged me. Again, it was challenging me that, yes, I am God's workmanship, and I am something special to God, but I also want to be out in this world doing the work that He's called us to do for Christ Jesus. He's called us to do for those good works that He prepared beforehand. And if that means I have to be in a pulpit preaching, then so be it, I guess. If that's what God's calling me to do, and so be it. Whatever God's doing in you, whatever God's working in you, be obedient to those things. Because I can tell you what, it's going to be something awesome. It's going to be something amazing. It's going to be something that God can use in a very special way. And it's all for His kingdom. It's all for His goodness. But I hope that this encourages you. I hope that this also gives you a fire and it motivates you a little bit. And I know, again, we can be beat down in our walk with God. We can be beat down as a Christian. But this verse really just encourages you. It kind of lifts you back up, gets your eyes back on God. And it says, man, Lord, I can't believe that I'm something special to You. So it just gets our eyes back where it needs to be. It gets our hearts back where it needs to be. So I hope that does that. I hope that does that work in you as it did in me. We'll go ahead and close tonight. If there's anything else that anybody wants to add to it, anybody else have anything they want to say before we close in prayer? Anything at all? No? Well, I love yous. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this morning that you were here and willing to listen to me. So thank you for that. Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to close. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank You and we love You, Lord. And just as a child of God, Lord, it is something special to know that we are Your workmanship. We are Your handiwork. And that You are doing something special in us and that You are continuing to grow us as we walk with You. And And Lord, help us in this to be faithful, to trust in you completely, to not doubt your work, Lord, that we often can do, not to question you, Father, but just to completely give our lives to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, help us in that. Help us to be loving you as we ought, Lord, to be following you and doing the work that you've called us to do, Father, to be faithful to those things, Lord. There's no doubt, Lord, we can look out into this world and it is a mess. Lord, people need you. And Lord, help us to be the light. Help us to be the salt. And Lord, just continue to be with us, Lord, as we go out this week. Father, I pray that you would be with us, Lord. Protect us. Watch over us. Lord, I'm so thankful for my church family. I love them, Lord. I pray that this word encourages them, Father. I pray that you would just continue to grow them, Lord, and help us, Father, to grow as a church. Lord, grow this church. Lord, we need more people in this church. We need these doors just bursting open with people who are lost that need to be saved, Father, and people that need to be transformed, people that need to be made into your workmanship, your handiwork, Father, your masterpiece. Lord, continue that work. I thank you and I love you, Father. You're such an amazing God. We thank you for Christ Jesus and what you did on that cross. We ask that you would just go out, Lord. Find the lost. Save them. Be with them, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.